This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Sophia Ricasoli. How are you, Sophia?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. We're here in Doppo, which is a restaurant in Soho, and you've just launched your new wines.
Yes, I have. Very exciting.
What we're going to talk about today is we'll talk about the wines and we'll talk about where people can get them and all that type of thing. But I'm interested in Toscana because Toscana IGT is a PGI or a Protected Geographical Indicator in Italy that's had a lot of massive success and it's also quite bulky as well. So we can talk about how Toscana fits within it and it's what the IGT is doing for your wines as well. Before we get into all that, do you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family? Because your family's been making wine in Chianti for 900 years.
Yes, so my family has been making wine in the Chianti Classico area for a lot of centuries.
A
lot of centuries.
you know how many centuries?
We are about 900 centuries.
Yeah, so that's what my research said as well.
Exactly. So we date back our winemaking and our relationship to Chianti Classico and especially to Broglio Castle, where we are located, to 1141. So that's a very long story. That's a lot of experience behind me, a very big legacy, a very big history that I have to bring into the future to carry on. And therefore, I work both at the winery, so at my father's winery, Francesco Ricasoli. But at the same time, when I joined actively, operatively, the winery, I was allowed to have a space, a project of my own, which is what we have launched today, and it's called Innesto.
Innesto. And Innesto means graft.
Exactly.
Not hard graft, but grafting.
Exactly. So the act of making a new plant by joining a new plant to an existing root, an existing plant. And so to bring to life something new, a new organism that then takes, have a life of its own. And so the idea here is to have a project that is grafted onto the very solid roots of the casually experienced in making wine, but we want a project that then becomes something of its own and have its own life, its own identity, vision and philosophy.
You've launched the wine. You launched in Italy.
We launched last year in Italy, so it was in Tuscany. We launched it just before the summer with our network of agents, and then we started launching it in a more official way in autumn, and then we launched it also in Sweden, but we have already partners in other countries in the world, so it's very exciting.
And over in the UK here, you have Ricasoli use Fells, which is a reasonably premium provider in London. And you're jumping on those coattails.
Exactly. In UK we are, yes.
The wines, you've got two wines in the range. Do you want to just tell us what the two wines are?
Yes. So I like to think about these two wines as representing a little bit also the name that I just told you about. So on one side, you have Innesto Chianti Classico Riserva 2021, our first release, which is a representation in my mind to the origins and to the territory and therefore to the roots of this imaginary grafted plant. While on the other side, you have something that goes outside the Chianti Classico appellation. We have another red wine that it's a multi-vintage. So here you have a story of something completely different, I like to think, which is a story about time. And it's a Toscana IGT. It's called Innesto Number One, Innesto Numero Uno, just because of that, because you don't have a specific vintage and that because that was its first release. And so this year, later on, we will release Innesto Number Two.
And the interesting thing, as you say, is it's a non-vintage wine, so multi-vintage wine. And for a multi-vintage wine, normally they're quite young and entry level, but you've tried to create something a little bit more. Is it premium though? What's the price point for these wines?
Well, the price points is higher for the second wine. And so we are trying to build something where we have two wines that I don't want to, I never like to talk about an entry-level wine and a premium wine. I like to think about these two wines as brothers and sisters. But at the same time, we have a Chianti Classico Riserva, which I believe is drinkable maybe in sooner than the second wine, which is the Nesto number one. And in Nesto number one, I really like to think it's something that you can really expect to be aging for quite some time. It's a very complex wine. It has a lot of body, a lot of roundness about it. And at the same time, it's very smooth. But I think the complexity of having these three vintages, because in its first release, in Nesto number one, it's three vintages, will make it suitable for a very beautiful and long aging process.
Let's talk a wee bit about Toscana, because particularly IGT wines, anyway, Tuscany IGT wines, have been used by all sorts of producers to create all sorts of wines.
Yeah.
You've got very entry-level Gluggers, and I think Sassicaia was a Toscana IGT at one point before mm-hmm. they got their own DOC. So it really is a experimental PGI, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It allows you to maybe be a little more creative than what the regulation for the single appellations provide for. I think the appellation is so important, especially in Chianti Classico. It has been doing an incredible work in the last 20 years, maybe 30 years. The Chianti Classico name and reputation is completely different to what it was before. But at the same time, I think it's interesting to, with a project like Nesto, where you almost have a blank page and you could potentially do whatever you want. I really like the idea to be experimenting also, and so go beyond the borders of the of what the appellation allows you to do.
It's a little bit unusual to see a non-vintage wine as being positioned as, you say, brothers and sisters, but even a non-vintage Toscana IGT being put in the same category as a Chianti Reserva is an interesting concept as well.
Yeah, but it's a very special wine. It's been the result of many, many months of working and understanding. It's a complex process to make this multi-vintage, and it's a very niche production for us. We are talking about around 3,600 bottles, something like that. And so for us, it's really the symbol, the representation of what we want to do with this project. And so for us, it was important that it would be understood in that way by the public.
I tried the two wines earlier over a very nice meal. Nice way to bribe me. I'm very bribable. Both wines were quite approachable. I mean, they both had a bit of age to them. What were the vintages again?
So we have 2021 for Innesto Chianti Classico Riserva, and we have the three vintages for Innesto number one are 21, 22 and 23. Different grape varieties.
Yeah. They're quite old vintages, aren't they?
So, yeah.
But your project is quite new. So what happened? Did you have the wines lying around in a tank somewhere and you went, oh, I know what to do with these?
No, but at Ricasoli, we always do harvest, vinification, aging process separately for each parcel. And so when we started talking about giving me a space, giving me a project, which I hope then became a project for the whole team, not just for me, our technical director, who has been with us for more than 30 years, and he knows me since I was a kid, he had always looked at the specific vineyards where the project is based, which are called Santa Lucia. He had always looked at them and thought that it would be interesting to really make something about those vineyards, and because he felt there could be something special about them. And so he put aside vinification, the wine coming from these parcels. And so when we started talking about them, we had this this combination of factors, me searching for something special, a project to carry out, and he searching like a place where we could locate the product of these beautiful vineyards.
Okay, so what's been your input then as to it? Because you've got a winemaker who's been putting together parcels, and this is your project. So where has your input been into the project?
Well, I would say that my input, as well as the input of all the other people in the team, has been a little bit all around in every place and in every moment. I think that the really beautiful thing about Inesto was that we didn't need to respect the roles that each and one of us have at the winery, but each and one of us were involved since the very beginning. And it's kind of a privilege, because with Ricasoli, you could obviously not do that. You cannot be there from the beginning. So you just have to understand how you can bring that legacy into the future. But in Inesto, we really saw it born. So we had to understand how we wanted this to become and what we wanted from it. And so it really was a teamwork in which each and one of us were thinking about every part of the process. So our sales director weren't just thinking about what they usually think, but they also had to think from the beginning about the vineyards, the wines, what kind of style, what kind of ambition do we want to give them, what kind of image do we want to give this project, because we had to think about the name, we had to think about the labels, everything. And so we were all involved in a very 360 degrees way.
The wines themselves, let's just touch on them. Chianti Classico Reserva, it's 100% Sangiovese, is that right? So that's a little, because Sangiovese used to be historically a blend, didn't it?
Yes, well, in the appellation, yes. I think, however, that, as I said, we have done a lot of work in the last years, and or at least those who came before me, because I'm a more recent addition to the appellation. And so people, and especially at Ricasoli, we have started understanding how to really work with Sangiovese. And we really, truly believe that it's a beautiful variety. It's a delicate variety. It's a floral variety. If you treat it in the right way, with the right respect, you can really have something beautiful about it. And so there are many people nowadays working with 100% Sangiovese. At Ricasoli, we do that. And I think for me, it was important to have a wine that would be within the appellation in the project. And while doing so, I wanted also for it to be 100% Sangiovese.
It doesn't have to be. I've had Chianti Classicos that have had Cabernet Sauvignon in them and all sorts of weird and wonderful things. And your Toscana has some Merlot in there as well. What's the varieties used in your Toscana?
So we have Sangiovese, which is the predominant variety. And then we have a 15-16% of Merlot. If the Sangiovese comes from all the three vintages that goes into this blend of Inesto number one, and which are 2021, 2022 and 2023, the Merlot only comes from the 2021 vintage.
And is Merlot a common grape in Chianti? No, because the grapes don't come from the Toscana, do they?
No.
They don't come from the Chianti DOC, do they? Or DOCG?
Merlot is obviously not a local variety. Merlot has been worked with in Toscana for many, many years. And also at Ricasoli, we were used to be working with Merlot. So I think it's a great variety that can express something very different and very unique when it's grown in Tuscany.
Why did you go for a non-vintage? Because most people, when they hear non-vintage, they're either going port or champagne, or they're going entry level. And you're not trying to position your wines like that. So you're trying to, you know, you're fighting upstream a little bit in terms of people's perceptions.
Yes, we are. And I think, it won't certainly maybe be super easy to be understood. However, we had this idea in mind since some time now. We tried out many blends and we tried to understand what we liked, if we like it really. And we came to this result and we really, really liked it. So there was a part of the heart in this decision making, because we grown affectionate to what we had done. And we decided to launch it and to try it. For me, this wine is, with Inesto, would really like to make two wines that are contemporary, which for me means a high drinkability. And so this you can find in the Reserva. Inesto Chianti Classico Reserva has a beautiful softness about it, I think. A beautiful gentleness, if you say that in English. I don't know if that's the correct word. That makes it contemporary and very pleasant in every season of the year. With Inesto number one, I wanted to push it even further. So to have a wine that would still be very drinkable, there's a continuity in the freshness of both wines that I insist on, which I really appreciate. But at the same time, I think Inesto number one is contemporary in the story that it tells. I think it's wonderful to be able to taste on one side something that is really a representation of a territory, of the vineyards of Santa Lucia, and on the other side, be drinking something that tells you about time. I think it's extraordinary that you can taste something that comes from three different vintages. I think that's unique, that's special. It gives you back a harmony, a complexity that is difficult to find. And for me, the idea is that Innesto number one, you can drink Innesto number one wherever you are in the world. And you may be in New York, you may be in Hong Kong, wherever you are. And you don't have to think about appellations. You don't have to think about varieties. You don't have to think about vintages, because you're forced to abandon all those schemes and just enjoy the wine for what it is. And I really think that's a very beautiful challenge to take while drinking our wine.
It is a challenge. You said drinkability is an important element to it. And I often find Chiantis to be overly tannic, to the point where they're drying out the fruit in your mouth. You know, you lose the fruit because the tannins are there in your face. But both your wines were quite low on tannins and quite approachable. Why the shift? I can see why you might want to do it differently, but have I misinterpreted Chianti in terms of it being quite a high tannic, quite hard wine?
Well, no, absolutely not. And I think there's still maybe wineries that make that kind of wine. I think, as I said, and as an appellation, we have grown into something that is now more elegant, more approachable, more, even we say in Italian, al passo coi tempi. So it means we understand nowadays what we really want to achieve with the wines and what people want to drink. And so I think that Chianti Classico as an appellation has done a lot of work on the quality of the wines, and in that sense also work on the tannins. Chianti Classico is known for the tannins and the acidity, but I think nowadays you can also find a really great balance. Nowadays you can really find an exceptional quality that is being recognized worldwide more and more. And so you haven't misunderstood, but that maybe was the history. But nowadays we are on a completely different path. I really want to embark on that path too.
And what do you think your Toscana IGT, your Innesto 1, because it's the first crack at it, you'll make another Innesto 2 at some point.
Exactly.
What would you hope for the future of this wine?
Well, first of all, I really hope it will be understood. As I said, it's not going to be easy, and I expect that. We are also used to some way of thinking in the wine world. We are very much attached to those specific way of thinking. And so it takes some, I would say, almost courage to maybe approach this kind of wine and try to understand it and fully appreciate it. And so for me, the first thing is that there will be enough people out there to really understand this wine. And then I'm really curious to see what we will do as next releases, because each release will be very different, and we will be able to keep the same style, to keep a continuity in style while working with multiple different vintages. I mean, it's fun. It's actually fun to really understand what came up from previous vintages and try to put them together and make them find harmony together.
Okay. And is this a little project so you can learn how to run the business, so when your dad retires, you're in the position, or what's going on there?
No, they will go on in parallel if Innesto has success, of course. No, I won't abandon Innesto, and Innesto I really hope will grow into something bigger than the actual dimension of the project, and to have a life of its own. It's called Innesto Sofia Ricasoli today. I hope one day to take away that Sofia Ricasoli and to just make it known by Innesto. And at the same time, I will work at the winery, as I already do. So for me, they're just two different things. This is a space, the smaller space, for a little bit more creativity and experimentation.
And are you being groomed to take over the winery?
Yeah, you could say so. I'm the only child of Francesco. Oh. Yeah, so.
So you are.
So I am.
And it's a family business, right?
Yeah.
So there is a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, well, it's not pressure. I've never been pressured by my parents, but it's a beautiful thing and at the same time also a hard thing, obviously. You have a lot of responsibility. You have it towards your community of people, the people working for you, for the land, the territory, and you have it also towards your past. So I think that it's important also to respect what came before you, but at the same time, it's a huge privilege. I don't think there's so many people in the world who can like look back and know where they came from for such a long time. It's a beautiful privilege.
Okay then, Sophia, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Great.
Thank you very much.
It was so nice to meet you all, and thank you for this interview.
Cheers very much.